In today's podcast, I interview Carissa Johnson. She's the founder of MomsOnTheRun.com, which has now grown to over 50 franchises across the country. And she's going to talk about how to introduce the franchise model to your business. And she's got a very unique business that many people wouldn't think about franchising. It's a great story. So even if you don't have what you would think is a traditional franchise business, I encourage you to listen to this. It could be a great path to growth for your business, whether you have a product business or a service business. You'll get some great insights from Carissa. Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClaire, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth, and I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. And I believe that you can grow profitably, which means you don't need to be a Fortune 500 company or have access to venture capital in order to grow your business. If you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists. I'm really excited today to have Carissa Johnson, the founder and owner of MomsOnTheRun.com, to join the podcast today. I'll give a quick bio behind Carissa and how she started this business, and we'll dive into this story. It's a really fun story that I encourage my listeners to pay attention to. So she was a personal trainer for a while, and then had three kids in 4 years. And that spawned her to create a new business model to really be able to get out there in a different way that becomes more difficult when you have young kids at home. And her business now, MomsOnTheRun.com, has over 50 franchises all around the country. It was started in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and spreads around, so even out to Colorado where we are, and they're looking to grow their franchises beyond that as well. But they're in several areas of the country, and their goal is to help moms of all ages in many ways, to create fitness as part of their lifestyle, anywhere from entering your first 5K to running a faster marathon time to just walking more frequently, putting fitness as a regular part of your routine, which I think is a fantastic goal. And two fronts, right? So Carissa has done an impressive job of helping women all over the country. I don't know the number. We'll have to talk about that, but hundreds or thousands of these women, thousands, I imagine. That's fantastic, but also built an exciting and growing business behind it. So I'm really excited to talk about the business on both of those levels. Carissa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
So can you tell us a little bit more, maybe fill the gaps? Let's talk about the mission of the business that you've created. So what is your goal in MomsOnTheRun.com?
We want to inspire women. So we're all about transforming women's lives. It is about the fitness for sure, but our motto is fitness, fun, and friendship, because we really feel like in this busy, chaotic world that we're living in these days, that those three ingredients are really missing for a lot of women. And what we're able to do in our classes is combine them all and help women to get that in all at once. So, you know, if a woman is willing to give us just an hour or two of her entire week, we're going to get a workout in, but we're also going to give her her time away from her kids, her time to take care of herself, and a lot of funds with new friends.
So, and I encourage everyone to visit the website to, at a minimum, learn more about the business, MomsOnTheRun.com. But if you can kind of fill in the gaps, so how does it work? So if I'm a woman interested in getting involved in more fitness or looking for a group of friendship, et cetera, you know, trying to achieve these goals, how does it work? Once I sign up, what happens?
So we have fitness training classes for all levels, and we do focus primarily on running. That's kind of our MO to get to our goals. But we also help women that just want to walk for sure. They're certainly welcome to join us. But we do cardio interval training. So whether that's walk run or jog run or walk and walk faster, we work with women right at their current fitness level to help them to achieve the results that they're looking for. And our classes are about an hour long, And we do, in almost all of our classes, we do cardio and strength and flexibility training. So what we're trying to do is provide a comprehensive workout 2 times a week. We recommend coming at least 2 times a week and help women to get all of that fitness in. And, you know, we do offer other types of classes as well, but that's kind of our gateway drug. Like, we want to help women get into running, get into walking more often, get into cardio interval training, and then we'll help them to find more strength training classes and that sort of thing through us as well.
And I imagine you probably have hundreds of really inspirational stories of how this has changed individual lives. Do any come to mind, maybe, that the stories that you've been a part of or been able to witness where this has really just transformed lives?
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, so many. And honestly, it would be hard to pick one or two or a few. I know some of the most inspirational stories to me are about the relationships that have been formed and about the women that have been able to support each other through hard times. We have had so many women in our program that have special needs children. We've had women that have gone through cancer with the support of their teammates, you know, bringing them meals and being there for them. And I think those are the stories that warm my heart more than any, but also great weight loss stories. You know, women that have never run before or say that they wouldn't run if their lives depended on it, or I would run if I was running from a bear. You know, we hear those kind of stories. And for whatever reason, something they saw in our marketing, women just like them that were getting this done, they were motivated to give us a try. And they went from not being able to run around the block to being able to run a few minutes. And then by the end of our season, run their first 5K without walking. So those are just the stories that keep me motivated, that keep me really excited about what we're doing, because we really can make a difference to women that maybe didn't think that they had what it took to become more fit physically or to be able to run a race of any distance. You know, we want to show them they can do it.
That's great. And how did you start this business? You transformed from being a personal trainer to now doing this for much larger groups. How did you start the business?
So, well, like you said, I was a trainer and I wasn't feeling like I was a good role model anymore, because after having 3 kids in 4 years, I just didn't have time to work out. And I understood what all of my personal trainer clients who are moms, I got it. You know, when you're not a mom, you don't get it. You're like, just work out, just make the time. But for me, it was an extreme challenge. And I just decided that I had to figure out a way to work out, even though I had kids. And I started offering classes with moms and babies. So I would invite women in my neighborhood to our local park with their babies, and we would all work out together. And it was a lot of fun. It just never really took off. And meanwhile, I had an interest in doing a running group, and specifically something where people would pay to run, you know, for a training program. But I didn't really have a structure in place. I didn't have a specific plan for that. Well, I was in one of my mom and baby classes, and a woman in the class spoke up and said, I want to train for a 5K. And everyone else in the class was excited too. And they're like, oh, we want to do that. We want to train for a 5K. And none of them had run a 5K before. And for me, it was like this light bulb moment. I mean, I had taken everything I knew about running for granted, because I have been running since I was 9 years old. And all of these women were so excited about learning to run. And I thought, you know, I have a background in exercise science, so I thought, I can do that. I can create a 5K training program. So I did. And that very first year, we had 26 women in Forest Lake, Minnesota, which is a relatively small suburb of the Twin Cities. And it was a very successful program. It was such a blast. And then we decided to do it a second year. And the second year, we had 54 women sign up. And we had women driving an hour to get there. And that was really when it exploded, because I just felt like this, you know, the people who drove the furthest obviously didn't have the best attendance. And we had women starting to contact me from all over the Twin Cities that were like, we really need this where we live. And so from that point on, I started opening a bunch of locations by myself. I opened 7 the next year, and I just hired coaches to teach for me in all these different kind of surrounding the Twin Cities. And then the next year we had 12, and that's when I realized I couldn't keep going at that pace. You know, I still had three very small children and was just working all the time and realized that I didn't want to squash it. Like, I felt like this was such a great thing that was happening, and I didn't personally have the capacity to do any more than I was doing. So that's when I learned about franchising, and that's when I found out that that's the way we had to go.
Well, that's great. What a way to expand it. I think it's, you know, a lot of businesses run into that area where they grow to a certain level where they can't do it themselves. And there's, you have to look for some sort of not exit point, but a transition point for the business. And, you know, be that a franchise model or bringing that, you know, hiring more employees or growing the management structure or whatever it might be. And this is an interesting model that I think a lot don't consider. You know, a lot of people think of franchising as joining a franchise, right? But creating a franchise, you know, being the franchisor, as you've done in your business, is a new thought to a lot of people. But I think it's something that could be applied to a lot of different business structures to really help them propel their growth. So I'd love to talk more about that. How did you first start that franchise? How do you find your first franchisee?
You know, it started really with the coaches that were working for me. They were really excited about their coaching job and really loved what they saw that was happening in their locations. And so that was basically, you know, once I was franchising, I told them, well, this is what I want to do. I want this to be your business and not mine. And then, you know, it was just kind of getting their feedback throughout that process as I created the franchise agreement and worked with an attorney, of course, to put all that together. And, you know, it was a very, very challenging year. It was probably one of the hardest years of my life going through that process of creating the legal framework to make all this happen, but obviously paid off in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked with business owners that took an easier way maybe, right? So they don't make it a very hard year when they start a franchise model and don't do all the legal setup that's required. And then they pay the price later on, right? So it's one of those things, like many aspects of business, it's the preparation that makes you more successful in the long term and makes life easier in the long term, right? So you got to go through that work and effort to set it up in the right way. So it's something, you know, a platform or a system that can grow from that point forward.
Yeah. And
let's talk about, go ahead.
I had actually looked at some similar other, I don't know if you'd call them competitors necessarily, but other outdoor fitness concepts that had tried to get away with a license agreement. And they ultimately ended up getting in trouble with the states and being told they were a franchise. So it was like, I didn't want to go through it sounded so complicated to be a franchisor, but I just, everywhere I looked, I just found out that was really the only option for what I was hoping to do. And I knew I just had to do it right in the first place because of what I saw happening around me for those who didn't.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm assuming you don't have big venture capitalists funding you behind this, right?
I don't.
Right. And so when you don't, and so, you know, some businesses can propel their growth with outside funding like that. And I love to talk with business owners like yourself that you're creating this business, right? It's, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's much easier to grow a business when you've got this big safety net of venture capitalists or big funders that come in behind you. But when you're doing it on your own, like you've done and funneling that growth, that's really impressive. And I think inspirational to our audience of other inventors and entrepreneurs and business owners out there. So let's talk about how have you been able to grow so successfully without, you know, some major outside funder from in 2012 was your first franchise, you said, right?
Yes.
So through that, you know, through 2019, you now have 50 franchisees. That's very fast growth. So how have you achieved that?
Well, first of all, it was very fast at first. I will tell you, I have slowed down the growth on purpose the last couple of years just because it was growing too fast. And I guess you could say as an entrepreneur, I have a relatively high risk tolerance, but I am also careful and frugal and all that too. And so, you know, it grew fast because I didn't have big goals for the business at first, because it was a hobby at first, I wasn't taking a paycheck. You know, I was funneling everything back into the business, and all that did really was make it grow too fast. So it really was a few years of amazing growth and, you know, super fast growth. And then it got to that point where I was realizing I really need the infrastructure here. I need employees, I need staff, I need help to do all of this. And so I did purposely slow down the growth, but honestly, it was all word of mouth. So like up until 2019, I actually never spent a dime on any franchise marketing. It was just people finding us online, people hearing about our program through social media. So, I mean, I guess I'm lucky or just very fortunate, but it really, you know, I was in the right business. I was in something that people just want to talk about. And it's really something that people are passionate about. You know, our coaches and our franchise owners, everyone is just so passionate about our mission for women's fitness that it just, it shows in everything they do. It shows in all of their social media, which has been huge. I mean, I don't know where we would be today without social media. You know, it's definitely been what's fueled our growth.
Absolutely. Can you share with us a little bit of the how you did this, right? So you talked about how hard it was to get started with the franchise model, but you've been very successful with it. So maybe just from an advice standpoint of anybody out there that's thinking about franchising their business, just tell us a little about the process. How did it work in the early days?
You know, my first advice would be just to make sure that your opportunity is franchisable. You know, being in this space now, I've definitely gotten to meet a lot of other entrepreneurs and other franchisors, and not every concept is franchisable. So just because your business is growing doesn't mean it can be a franchise. And they do have professionals that do that, consultants that will help you determine whether your business is a good fit for a franchise model. Because it is a lot of work, and it's going to be more hours the first couple years than you've ever put in your life. And for most people, it's going to be quite an investment. And, you know, looking back, maybe I would have or should have taken on an investor in the early years just so that I had more staff and support right away. At this point, it's hard to say if I would do that just because we've made it this far and everything's going great. So, you know, but I guess my best advice is just to do it right in the first place. You know, I would advise to work with a franchise attorney over a business attorney, because franchise law is, I mean, there's so many nuances. It's just, it's always changing every year too. So it's really important that you have good legal counsel and that you know what you're doing.
Do you have any watch outs, you know, cautionary tales that you found along the way that people should really watch out for?
You know, I would say mostly I tried to learn from others' mistakes, but I will say my very first franchise agreement was done by a business attorney, and eventually I was led to a franchise attorney, so I was able to find all sorts of problems with my first document that I'm thankful I was able to discover in the early years. So I guess that would be a shortcut I tried to take, you know, when I was first getting started to save money. I decided to kind of go with a business attorney and just have them do the paperwork for me. So I guess that would be important advice for someone, if they can learn and understand in the early years the difference between having an actual franchise attorney. I mean, that's all they specialize in, and I think that's important to do.
I think that's good advice to think about, you know, as a startup or a new or growing business, especially an independent entity, you know, without these big investors out on the outside, you do have to be very careful with your resources. And it becomes a balancing act of, you want to make sure you spend money on the right things. And if I'm hearing you right, you know, starting, for example, if you've got a franchise you want to start, then starting with a franchise attorney is a worthwhile investment. You can save some dollars by working maybe with an inexpensive or less expensive mm-hmm. business attorney, but it's going to cost you more in the long run. So being wise about the ways that you spend your money as a startup, as a new business, you can't spend on everything. You have to be very selective, but you do have to spend on some things, and making those right decisions. I think that's sage advice, certainly for all of us as we think about that.
For me, most of my investments have been into staff, just realizing, you know, that my resources are limited. You know, in the earlier years, I wouldn't have believed that. I'm extremely type A, I can do it all, right? And just being in business this long has taught me my weaknesses. It's taught me to understand where my skills fall short, where I could actually hire someone to do something better than I'm able to do. So I think that's an important investment in the early years for other business owners to consider, is just getting the right staff in place, and it'll make things a lot easier for you in the future.
That's great advice. And before we talked via email before this interview about how not only has this business impacted those that join Moms on the Run and change their own lives, but you talked about how it's also impacted their families, you know, those around them. Do you have any more to share on that? How is your business helped beyond just the members?
You know, it's so amazing to me how many entire families have gotten into running. So they have this mom who's never run before, who joins this running group, And it just becomes a part of her life. She gets excited about it. Her kids observe that. They get excited. They see her running races and they want to hop in the kids' race. You know, they want to wear a race number and get a little medal, you know. But not just kids. We have a lot of stories of husbands that have started running because of Moms on the Run, and just entire families joining community race activities and fundraisers. I feel like the cross-country program in the state of Minnesota has grown because of Moms on the Run. We have so many more kid runners now following the footsteps of their moms. So it's just been super fun to see.
And we keep addressing Minnesota, obviously where you're from, but also remind me the number, how many franchises are there currently in Minnesota? Or not franchises, but how many locations, let's say, because I know you still own some of these, but how many total locations of Moms on the Run are there in Minnesota?
Just in Minnesota, there's 38.
Yeah. Wow. So that's why, you know, you think about that, where that's been able to really strongly impact one location and see big changes like that. And we'll, of course, love to see that growing across the rest of the country as your business continues to grow.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, one of the reasons I think any franchise or any new business can be successful is they've got to stick out or stand out in the marketplace. They've got to be unique. And there are a lot of running groups out there. You've been particularly successful because I think you have a unique positioning. Can you talk about that? What makes your business stand out or be unique from other maybe running groups or whatever you want to call them that are out there?
First of all, I would say that our business is very different than a running club because of the structure we give our classes. So you're not just showing up with a group and going for a run and calling a day. You know, we're very key on providing education with every workout. So we will talk about topics that are important to stay healthy as runners. We have the cardiovascular workout, the walk run, of course, but we also have the strength training. We have the stretch training, the flexibility training, the stretching. So we really have this comprehensive type class structure. And I just don't know of anyone doing that really in the running industry. So it's, I mean, like we're doing, you know, we have the structure, we have the women's focused, we have the social focus. We're a very social group. We promise nights out to our women when they sign up. So you get time with your girlfriends outside of just class. But from a franchising structure, I don't really think there is very many run-based franchises. So I'm sure that we'll see that in the coming years here. But I feel like we're on the early edge of that, getting into franchising with a focus on running.
Yeah, well, and I think in my mind, one of the reasons we haven't seen that yet, at least, is a lot of the groups that are out there are not paid, right? Because they're not giving, they're really just, as you said, friendship groups. People kind of show up sometimes, but it's not as structured, which means that they're good, right? They're a good thing to have. But what I love about your business model is it is more structured. It encourages you to come out more frequently and to get more out of it each time, right? So when you have that structure in the way that you work out, you're more inclined to participate more, and you're going to have better results, which keeps you coming back. And so I think that's one of the big differences. And so you can have a paid model behind that people are willing to pay for, because you're getting those tangible benefits that they can see very quickly.
Yeah. And it's really a different target market too. So I have all respect for running clubs, of course, and I've been a part of them before, but it's not our women, our target customer really isn't interested, at least at first, in joining a running club. You know, runners, they might see them as intimidating. They might see like, oh, I could never be in a running club because I can't run. Because our best customer really is a woman who doesn't run or thinks that she can or isn't currently running. And so they don't even see a running club as a remote possibility for them. And what we're trying to do is help women see that they can run and provide a comfortable environment for them to learn. And that's what makes us so different than a running club.
Very good. And what are your plans? What's next for your business? What's your plans for growth from here forward?
Right now, we're going to start being a little bit more strategic and trying to go into certain states and location that we think that we'll do well based on the population there, based on the weather. We'll be expanding. You know, we're doing excellent in Florida. We have a Jacksonville franchise. Looks like we'll be going into Tampa soon. So we are just really excited about what's happening down there with the warmer weather. It's obviously even more of a profitable opportunity because you can offer classes, more classes year round. In Minnesota, we offer some classes in the winter, but there is a seasonal nature to our program here. So as we go forward and we look for new areas, because right now there hasn't been any strategy, you know, and obviously we'll help anyone who contacts us and hopefully find that they're in a great location to be able to start a franchise. And that's not all locations, but you know, we can work with many people that contact us from anywhere. But from a strategic standpoint, in the future, we will be picking where we want to go and trying to develop several in one area, because what we have going on in the Twin Cities is so exciting, and just the amazing community and network here, we really like to be able to bring that to other suburban areas as well.
Fantastic. And Chris has been generous enough to offer to our audience a discount. So if there's anyone that's interested in learning more about franchising Moms on the Run in your own local area in any part of the U.S., or is it just the U.S. for now? Just to clarify that.
Yeah, we are just in the U.S. right now, yes. Okay.
So eventually maybe internationally as well. But if you're in the U.S. and are looking to at least talk about getting a franchise, she's offering a $500 discount off of the standard franchise fee, which is extremely generous, mm-hmm. through the remainder of 2019. So the way to find out more about that or reach out to Carissa and her team is to go to momsontherun.com/franchise. So you can get more information by doing that. Certainly go to the website, momsontherun.com, just to learn more about maybe joining a running club in your area at a minimum. It's a great organization and business that you've built, Chris. This is a fascinating story. Is there anything that I didn't ask that you'd like to share with our audience?
No, I just want to hit home that we welcome all women. We really want women to feel like they have a place with us, even if they've never found their fit before. Maybe the gym isn't their thing. We get it. You know, we want to offer something different. We want to offer a safe place, a community, just a wonderful group of friends that we want to help introduce women to. And we want to do that all over the U.S. So we look forward to more women joining us in our opportunity.
Fantastic. I'm so excited that you're able to join today. I know how busy you are with your business, but this was a lot of fun. Great getting to know you better and to hear more of your story and share with our audience. So thanks again, Carissa, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for your valuable insights and for taking the time to share your story. Our audience of inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers will benefit greatly from what you've taught us today. For the listeners, go to their website to learn more. Also, be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play.